health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning. It's Monday the 16th of September. It's just gone 7 minutes past 10. You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It is the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and we are focusing on National Deaf Awareness Month. I'm joined by two guests, Charlene Brett, audiologist, and Taryn Brett, mom with a daughter who is deaf. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think if we could start off by unpacking what are some of the contributing factors that may lead to hearing impairment or hearing loss in children, and how do parents navigate this challenging journey and adjust their lives? So I think, Charlene, okay, shall we start with you, and then we will go to Taryn.
So in young children, there are many different kinds of causes. There are environmental causes during pregnancy. Certain viruses may be contracted, which can cause hearing loss. There are congenital deformities, which one would notice at birth, where the external ear might be malformed, and we would take particular notice of that. There are also genetic causes, but I'm not a geneticist, and I wouldn't like to go down that road. If there are signs, doctors will alert the patient or the client to genetic testing. In young children, a very common cause is middle ear infections. So middle ear infections can cause temporary hearing loss. However, they must be addressed, because even a short period of time when a child cannot hear may affect the actual development of speech and language. The infections that can be caused could be meningitis, measles and mumps. Another very important thing are loud noises. Now, we are all exposed to loud noise all the time. You can't go into a shopping center or into a shop where we are not exposed to terribly loud noise. In fact, it's done a lot of good for my bank balance, because I can't bear shopping where there's loud noises. They're right. Also, it is such an important thing to be aware of. There's a scale, a decibel scale, which shows what level of sound and exposure will lead to hearing loss. And this is particularly important with teens who love loud music. And unfortunately, the hearing loss is not very often detected in the average hearing test, because in an average hearing test, a normal average hearing test, we test up to 8,000 decibels, but the hearing loss in teens is said to start way above that, at 17,000, and that's not typically detected until they are much older, and then the problems set in.
Right.
There are also different medications. Now, certain medications are life-saving, and if the medications are ototoxic, which means they cause hearing loss, the doctor and the audiologist need to monitor the dosage.
Okay.
There are also autoimmune diseases, and of course, there are unknown causes. In some cases, the cause of a hearing loss in a child cannot be determined even after thorough medical evaluation.
So we're going to go to an ad break, and then when we come back, I'd like to speak to Taryn as well to see what it's like to have a child with hearing loss. And let us have your questions or comments on our WhatsApp number, 061-895-1019.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday and you're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. We're chatting hearing loss and deafness. Let us have your questions or comments on WhatsApp 061-895-1019. We have a comment from listener Mavis. My young son suffered from multiple middle ear infections. They were 100% due to food allergies. So what I wanted to chat now to, excuse me, to you, Taryn, how did you discover your child's hearing loss and what have the challenges been? What has it been like?
So we live here in the UK, just outside London, and my daughter was born in a NHS, a National Health Service hospital. We're very, very lucky to be here in the UK because the NHS feel that if they give support to children from an earliest age, they will not require the help as adults. And so when any baby is born here in the UK, they very close to when they're born or a few days after have what is called a click test. And a pediatric audiologist came in and they basically send clicks. They put a little headband on the baby and they send clicks to wait for the brain reaction to the clicks. And if there is no reaction, they then do another slightly more intensive test where they put nodes on the brain. And if there's still no reaction, then you're pretty certain that there is a problem with the hearing of the baby. And the day my daughter was born in 2012, they came in, they did the test, and we knew pretty much within hours that there was something wrong. We didn't know what it was, but we were 99% sure she had a deafness of some level. And that's how we found out the day she was born.
Sure. Okay. How has that been, how has it affected your dealing with your child, raising your daughter, making her feel still that, obviously, that she's special and, you know, that there's not anything wrong with her?
Right. Well, we had no experience of deafness when she was born. We didn't really know anyone with deafness, didn't have it in the family. And my first reaction, unfortunately, like most people, was there's a stigma around deafness. I have a child that isn't perfect. The dreams I have for my child, will she ever achieve what she needs to achieve? What is her future going to be like? So the beginning was extremely difficult, very, very upsetting. But as we learned more about it, spoke to doctors, joined a support group, there's a great charity here in the UK called the Jewish Deaf Association, which immediately contacted me because I was referred by a friend. And we just got to understand that this disability really didn't have to affect her in any way as long as we gave her the confidence, the practical tools, the hearing aids, always wearing them all the time, giving her access to as much sound as possible. You know, that through her, as she developed through the years, she would be comfortable with it, she would be proud of it. And she can forget that she's disabled, and that's really what we've tried to do. She's always worn them. She got her aids, I think, at almost 3 weeks old when she was diagnosed with a moderate hearing loss in both ears. So just to explain what that means, if she didn't have hearing aids, she would have developed speech vowel sounds, but not consonants. So right. she would have spoken that kind of deaf sound, which I remember from the 80s when I was a child and having, you know, people in my class who were deaf. Because she had her aids on from the very beginning and we were so insistent of it, she really has developed perfect speech, really, really great speech. And because she wasn't identifiable through her speech, people kind of never assumed she was deaf. And because they never assumed she was deaf, no one ever treated her like she was any different. They offered her hearing aids with hearing molds, which were glittery and sparkly. And she chose those. And I was so proud of her because you notice them, you know, she's sitting there, she has lovely curly hair, she wears her hair up and everyone can see the aids. And I was really proud of her because she wasn't shying away from it. We always encourage discussion with strangers, discussion with friends. If she ever noticed friends looking at her and asking, what's that in your ears, as kids do, you know, with funny faces, we always encouraged her just to explain it. And we gave them a name. They were called her special ears. And they were treated, you know, they were special. She looked after them. She cleaned them with us. She tested them with us because, you know, you need to look after them. They were almost like my third child at one point. They were so important to us.
Right.
And she just grew up finding it was normal. If you start, you know, from the earliest age, the likelihood is they will grow up with the confidence to wear them with pride. And that's what happened in her case. We were lucky. We had a child that was willing, you know, she never pulled them out, as many kids do. She never felt awkward. And that has really helped her to be a confident kid today. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Are you involved with the community as well? Does she have other friends who have hearing loss or are deaf?
Yeah, so as I said, we were very lucky. I out of the blue, I got a call from this charity here in the UK called the Jewish Deaf Association. Funnily enough, a lovely ex-South African lady called me up and said I'd been referred to her. And she said, we're here to help you. We're here to guide you. I'm not sure how long they'd been in existence when they called me, but they knew exactly what was out there for kids with hearing loss, equipment to suggest, audiologists to see. So literally from that moment, I felt I had a support. And from being involved in the JDA, the Jewish Deaf Association, other young mums who were in our situation, we had support groups, we met, we talked, we had a WhatsApp group. Just feeling like you aren't the only one made the biggest difference right. to me and my husband. And I can honestly say what started off, I remember crying the days after she was born, in the shower crying, to my husband crying, to my parents crying. I would say within about a year and a half of her being born, the most negative experience of my life has become turned into the most positive, and it's remained that way. Honestly, I can say that her deafness, which was the first thing I thought about in the morning, is now pretty much the last thing I think about in the day. And I feel very fortunate. And, you know, if you give them the confidence, they can grow up not thinking they're any different.
I think that's so vital, that they grow up not thinking they're different, with the confidence. And, you know, that's an absolutely wonderful job from your side, your parents' side and the community side. We're going to go to a live read. And then when we come back, I want to chat about what are some of the contributing factors that we need to watch out for early on. We've spoken about loud noise and these other challenges. So Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offer convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. Let us have your comments or questions on 061-895-1019. We're talking hearing loss and deafness. And we have a comment from Carol. Good morning. We had to go to a birthday lunch at a pub over the weekend. And of course, the Grand Prix was on and the sound was so, in capital letters, loud. It was not pleasant at all. And we actually took takeaways, and it could take one's appetite away, excuse me. Could not have a conversation. It was just awful. We declined it even ever to be invited again. Maybe it shows my age, from Carol. But I do think sometimes the best thing to do is leave. How serious is loud noise and loud sound? If we could go to Charlene for that, please.
Okay, before I answer that, can I just say to Taryn,
yes,
how inspirational she is. And I would like, I'll answer the question about loud noise, but after that, she's done a lot of community work and she's raised money for children in classrooms in the UK, and I'm sure the listeners would love to hear about that.
Thank you. We are going to chat about that for sure.
Okay, so basically, how loud is loud noise? So Carol mentioned that it was too loud to hear, and that is an indication definitely that the noise is too loud. There's a decibel scale. I'll tell you the measurements in decibels. You'll tell me if this makes sense. There is a level of noise up until 80 decibels, which is safe. So those are noises that you can hear, like a dog barking or any comfortable sound, normal conversation, music. But the minute it gets above 85 decibels, so there is a scale. Mm-hmm. So at 95 decibels, if you hear sound like a loud motorbike at 95 decibels, you can cause damage in 4 hours. If sure. the noise is 105 decibels, there's risk of damage in 1 hour. And 150 decibels is one actually feels pain. Very often after being exposed to loud noise, one can experience tinnitus, which is a subjective noise ringing in the ears. And that it's called, and you might not be able to hear for a while. That's called temporary threshold shift if your hearing goes back to what it was before. Right. But really it is very vital. In the Torah, it says that if a person incurs damage on another person, the damage needs to be compensated. So if, for example, a pianist's hands get damaged, the loss of the hands has to be damaged, has to be compensated. But with deafness, the loss of the whole body needs to be compensated. So I think that tells it all.
Absolutely. And for these short time frames, this is permanent damage. And we would then suffer hearing loss, reduced hearing for the rest of our lives. Is that correct?
If there is damage, it is it will be nerve damage, and it is permanent.
Okay.
There have been some studies to show that there's certain medications that might reduce the amount of damage, but not so in all cases.
Okay. So if we are going into loud environments, is ear protection advisable? Sort of earplugs or headphones? Essential.
Essential. Okay. Absolutely essential. And if we can go to the bands at Simchas and beg them, because they haven't responded to me when I've asked them, to lower the sound level to a safe level. You get for proper protection, you can get custom-made molds so your audiologist can take an impression of your ears and add filters. So if you're a musician and you need to hear certain sounds, it will allow those sounds in. But people in different professions, like dentists, like people playing sport, are subject to noise damage, and it's very important.
Okay. So it's something that we need to take care of, because it's something we really would miss when it's gone. So,
Yes. Everybody today owns a cell phone. You can get an app on a cell phone which is called a sound level meter. Many of them are free. And you can test the average level of sound that you're being exposed to, and then you know either you need to step outside or you can be comfortable and enjoy the social activity.
So for me currently it's 70 dBs. I have it on my watch because it's important. Yeah. And I've got surprised by how loud a shower can get, and it triggers a
warning. How loud did your shower get?
98.
Wow.
So maybe.
Yeah, you get water plugs, as long as it's not an hour.
No, you know? Absolutely. Especially not in South Africa with our water shortages. So, Taryn, could you tell us a little bit about the work that you've done for the community?
Sure. So, as I said, a group of mums met through the Jewish Deaf Association, and we just realized that targeting Jewish schools in the North London area, where the majority of the Jewish population is, a lot of the schools are quite old, and the kids would go into these old buildings, Victorian buildings, high ceilings, and the acoustics would be terrible, the echo would be awful, and these kids trying to learn in a classroom, sound would be bouncing everywhere, and they were just struggling to hear clearly. So we decided to get together. There were about five of mums with the support of this charity, and raise money for acoustic panels to go into at least one Jewish school in every North London area where there was a certain a Jewish community above a certain size. And I hope I'm giving the right information. I think we got it into about four or five different schools. Wow. So we thought that for government schools, a Jewish child would have an option to go to a school with acoustic panels if they chose to go down the government school route. And what we did is we fundraised so that a classroom in every year group, every grade group, at least one classroom in every year, in every grade, would have acoustic paneling. And we managed it. It took a while, but we got there with this amazing support from the JDA. So today in North London, theoretically, every deaf child should have a place in an acoustically treated school. That's the idea.
That's absolutely incredible. Have you had feedback as to the difference they've made?
Yes, in the older Victorian buildings, huge, huge difference, not just to deaf children, mm-hmm. to all children, autistic children, children with behavioral issues. It just dampens the sound. It makes a nicer environment to learn. All children, even children without any issues, would benefit from that as well. The teacher isn't shouting as much. She's not having to fight with background noise. The deaf children are not having to fight with the background noise because their hearing aids pick up everything. And yes, definitely in the older Victorian buildings, it's really been a positive thing. In the newer buildings, like my daughter's school, which was a pretty new school, it didn't make a difference because actually all schools in this country are built to an acoustic level already, which is a good level for hearing.
Right.
So in the newer schools, we realize don't do that again, but in the older schools, definitely worth it.
Something to improve. Okay. So yeah. It is something that would make a profound difference to the student's ability to learn.
Absolutely.
Less overwhelming.
They're not hard to hear. Totally. Yeah. Absolutely. Obviously, we'd always advise a deaf child to sit, you know, towards the front of a classroom, the teacher to be facing the child, the child, because every child, but definitely deaf children, definitely use an element of lip reading. So it's always important that they are facing their teacher. There's good light, but getting rid of that background noise, you know, kids talking in the back, throwing paper, I don't know, rustling paper, all those kind of things that their aides would pick up. This ensures that it's, you know, as minimal as possible, and the child has the best access to learning that they need. So we were very happy to be able to do that. It was a brilliant, brilliant thing to be involved in.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for giving back to the community and supporting the kids, because not being able to hear, and if it's something that you are a little bit embarrassed about, it can definitely affect your grades and your studies. Unnecessarily.
For sure.
So, Taryn, I believe you have to run. So we just want to say thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing your wonderful story.
That was fantastic. Thank you for asking me. It's a great show, and I'm really, really pleased to hear that you're raising awareness. It's just so important.
Absolutely. Do you want to give any details about the community that you're part of in the UK if people want to get in touch?
Yeah, so I live just outside London in an area called Boreham Wood, which is a huge Jewish community. I think it's the biggest one here. If I could highlight the Jewish Deaf Association, look on their website. I'm not quite sure how it would necessarily help you guys in South Africa, but you know, if there's information you want, I'm sure they'd be more than happy, you know, to be in touch and give information. There's a lovely lady there, the family liaison lady, who is ex-South African. Her name is Jody Sachs. If you want, I can ask if I can send details that you could
Perfect.
Put up on your
and
website.
We'll put it up on the website.
I'm sure they'd be more than happy to do that. So yeah, I will be in touch.
All right,
thank
you
so
Taryn
much for
Reed, thank
having
you.
Me. It's all an right, absolute.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Thank you, Taryn. Yep. So, Charlene, from your side, for me, I can relate on a very small level because I have very narrow canals and they are narrowing. So when my ears get blocked, it's very gradual sort of loss of hearing over a couple of weeks. And then I get to a point where I can't hear anything because particularly when there's background noise, and then I go and get the ears cleaned. How do people... usually at what stage do people realize they're having hearing loss?
Well, the statistics show that for the first 7 years, people are in denial. And
wow.
Then they want to be tested and sorted out within an hour. Yeah. But as far as your earwax is concerned, if I can make a comment.
Sure.
I'm giving over the advice of Professor Ati Mulder, who is an ENT professor, who seems to have trained most of the ENTs in South Africa, said, If you have a problem with wax in your ears, some people produce more wax than others, you should take a syringe and Yellow Johnson's baby shampoo. Just fill the tip of the dropper, only the tip of the dropper, because you don't bubble come floating out of your ears. Put it in a drop in the morning, and in the evening, put it in your ear. Rub that little part of your ear, and you can shower, you can swim, you can do anything for 4 days in a row. Once you've had your ears cleaned, it should maintain the situation.
Oh, brilliant. Fantastic. I'm going to give that a try.
Absolutely. But it must be yellow.
Yes, must be the yellow, not the pink. Okay. No, I was going, I thought it was pink, but okay. No.
I also want to make a comment. We're talking a lot about hearing, and I'm deeply passionate about hearing and preventing hearing and accelerating anybody's ability to hear. But we must understand that there's also a community called the deaf community who are proud to be deaf, who don't want their hearing to be attended to. They want to be part of a deaf community. And I think that must be respected as well.
Absolutely.
And can I read a lovely poem that I found on the internet?
Sure.
I've entitled it To Hear. To hear is to gather treasures in the wind. To listen is to pull strands of music from the silence. To speak is to unlock the world, each word a heartbeat of meaning. Sounds paint the day with laughter, with stories, with song. The world whispers secrets to those who hear. Each word a tiny universe, a heartbeat of meaning. And language, like light, makes the world clearer, brighter, until every word is a key, every sound a friend. In the sounds we share, we find each other. In the words we speak, we find ourselves.
Oh, wonderful. I wanted to ask you, and just on the point of the deaf community, is it where people who have had hearing loss, that it's becoming more, it's more challenging for them and they're less accepting of the change in their hearing levels?
First of all, let me just define deaf, and let me define hard of hearing. Taryn uses the word deaf in England. In South Africa, we use the word hard of hearing until a certain point. When there's no hearing or almost no hearing, then we use the word deaf.
Okay.
And I'm sure there are, the community is of deaf individuals consists of people who are born deaf and who become deafened.
Right. Okay. With the loss of hearing in older members of our community, how big an impact does that have on their quality of life, their ability to socialize, their ability to interact? Are they willing to embrace the technologies and the treatments to improve their hearing?
Okay, so it is absolutely critical for people who are aging. In fact, over the age of 65, there's statistics which vary from, which vary, which mean that people over the age of 65 is the hearing loss is the biggest chronic condition.
Right.
Okay, so in South Africa, it seems that people are over the age of 80 find it very difficult to embrace technology. But my opinion is, if they've learned to read, reading is far more difficult than being able to operate the technology. And as long as there are supportive audiologists, which there are, we have wonderful, wonderfully trained people in South Africa, they can overcome it, but it does take work.
Right.
The other question you asked me, what, how it impacts their life. So somehow hearing loss seems to have a stigma because it's an invisible condition. You don't bump into things as you do if you are visually impaired. So people kind of they feel scarm. They feel embarrassed to ask to repeat things. So we need to overcome that hurdle. But there does come a certain point in a certain age where people say they need to get sorted out. The hearing aids industry focuses a lot on the needs of people, and hearing aids have become very, very, very tiny. You can get hearing aids that are in the ear that are probably as big as my baby fingernail. And they are, one company has an instant fit and they are absolutely incredible. So deafness impacts or hearing loss impacts on people, which causes social isolation. And with social isolation often comes a feeling of feeling inadequate and depression. So depression is a very big thing. And if hearing, the biggest risk of hearing loss is non-detection. If hearing loss is not detected, it can lead to cognitive problems, because in, I think, 2009, it was discovered that even a mild hearing loss can impact on brain function, which means the brain needs to hear in order to function optimally.
Right.
And for me, that is just a game changer.
So there are a few more questions I have on this. We're just going to go to a live read, and then we're going to come back and talk about hearing tests, because we know we need to get our eyes tested, but are we going to get our hearing tested regularly?
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You are listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. I'm your host, Nicholas Ingle, and I'm joined by Charlene Brett, audiologist. We're talking deafness and hearing loss. Just before we went to the ad break, we were talking about, we know to go regularly for our eye checks, but we don't go regularly for hearing checks. How regularly should we be going to get our hearing tested, and in what age ranges?
Very regularly. So who needs a hearing test? Babies need a hearing test. Newborns, as we heard from Taryn. Children who are in nursery school developing language, because it has been shown that the speech development of a grade one child is going to determine their end results in matric. So school children need, because of the same reasons, because we need to know that they've come into school hearing and that they're going to be able to progress. Teenagers, as we've said, for sure need hearing because of their exposure.
And we've all been teenagers, yeah.
We've all been teenagers. In fact, my favorite music is from the time when I was a teenager. Adults in the workplace need hearing tests, and seniors, as we've discussed.
Yes.
So how often does one need to go for a hearing test? I'm not sure if everybody agrees with me, but I believe every year should be done.
Right.
Especially if one has been diagnosed with a hearing loss, for sure, there's no dispute. But until one has been diagnosed, or if one would ever be diagnosed, I really believe it should be done annually.
Okay. So those of us with glasses know what to expect when we go to the optometrist and they put the machine on your face and you sit there and they say, yeah, no, this one or this one or that one or this one. And then you get, okay, you need to change your script. You don't need to change your script. What is the process of what is a hearing test? What's the process?
Okay, so we need to determine what the type of hearing test is. Is it a conductive loss, which may be able to be remediated, or is it a nerve loss? And then we have to look at the onset, when it started, how severe it is, and the frequency range that it's in. So what happens with newborns? Newborn testing is obviously does not require the response of the baby, and it's, I would call it an automatic test, because, or an objective test of hearing. Okay.
Right.
A child who can, of about five, who can respond, would typically go into an audiologist. They would be fit. They would have earphones over their ears, and they would test for sensory neural loss, where sounds go into the ear and the person has to respond. With young children, it's play audiometry. So you have two audiologists, one presenting the signal and the other helping the child respond, seeing if they can't respond or if they're thinking. There could be eye movements, it could be head movements. And then, so when we test the hearing, we test at a certain intensity level. And if the person doesn't respond, we go up one level, down one level, back to the original level. So we get an average reading over several readings.
Right.
And when ensure that it is consistent, then we mark that threshold at that particular frequency. Once the sensory neural test is done, where the sound is fed into the ear through the earphones, then we go to a conductive hearing test, which means that the bone conductor is placed just very often on the forehead of the child, and that test bypasses the middle ear. What we call the ear is not only the external ear that you see sticking out of the, out of your head, on which we hang our earrings. And there's three parts to the ear. There's the external ear, the middle ear, and the inner ear. So the conductive loss bypasses the middle ear and goes straight to test the nerve. And then if we have a problem, then we would need to go to other tests. So those tests are called subjective tests because the person needs to respond. The objective tests are more extensive, and in the case of a person who can't respond, they might need to be done under sedation, and they, there are different names of the tests. I'm not sure if you want me to mention them. Mm-hmm. There's ABR, there is OAE test, which does not need sedation. The sounds are fed into the ear and responses are automatically recorded on the particular audiometer. We also have tympanometry, which is also an objective test, which measures how the eardrum is functioning.
Right.
And will tell us if there's been an infection or if there's a current infection or the infection is resolving. And then there are lots of much more very sophisticated types of tests.
Are these tests something that people should be scared of or concerned of, something to prevent them going?
Not at all. There's no risk to the tests, except one particular test if the noises are very, very loud. But there's always a warning that you only test at certain levels. The only thing is the earphones. The earphones seem to be quite tight. There are two ways that audiologists seem to practice. There's a way where you test it in a soundproof booth, which could be a little bit scary, but as long as an adult can go in with a child or with a person, and or it's a soundproof room, which is a different experience. The audiologist could sit on the other side. The system that I use is where the audiometer has noise proofing in the earphones, so you sit across from a desk,
right?
And as scary as the audiologist is, and okay, I don't think I'm that scary.
Not that scary at all. So we're going to go to a quick ad break. Before we do, we have a question from a listener. What can be done for tinnitus, and do hearing aids also magnify background noise? Tinnitus when is like having background noise all the time. We'll answer that as soon as we're back from our ad break.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday here on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I'm chatting with audiologist Charlene Brett about hearing loss and deafness. We had a question, from a listener about tinnitus. What is tinnitus, and does or do hearing aids amplify the background noises?
So tinnitus, I call it tinnitus, but people do pronounce it tinnitus.
I'm from Cape Town, so please excuse me.
No, that's fine. Is a subjective sound that the person hears within their own head. It's a complex condition. The most conservative treatment to try is hearing aids. The top level of hearing aids and many others have tinnitus programs, and you can choose what is a comfortable sound to mask the tinnitus that a person can live with. There are also other devices. To my knowledge, tinnitus cannot actually be cured, but there is cognitive behavioral therapy, and there's people who, audiologists, and I'm sure psychologists, some psychologists as well, work together with audiologists to help the person manage the tinnitus.
Right.
As to hearing aids and noise levels, the best hearing aid is the best that you can afford.
Right.
The new technology is absolutely incredible. In a tiny little device, it is a computer. It uses artificial intelligence. There are very sophisticated algorithms to monitor the sound around you. There are programs, automatic programs, and programs that you can add to the hearing aids to minimize the noise and focus on the speech, because that is the biggest problem that people with hearing loss face. Because a lot of noise equals, a lot of speech equals noise. And the R&D in hearing aid technology focuses a lot on that. And they're very successful, but one's got to have patience. One's got to be able to learn how to use them, make friends with the hearing aids, as Taryn said. What did she say? The hearing aids were
glittery and sparkly.
Child.
Yep, as well.
Yeah, they're glittering and sparkling, and with encouragement and with the right attitude, they really can work wonders.
Fantastic.
I hope that answers the question.
It does perfectly. I suppose just on a lighter note, maybe don't go for the smallest at the very start, because I have a dear friend of mine who does tend to lose his quite often, and it can get expensive.
On some hearing aids, there's an app to find your lost hearing.
Okay. Oh, fantastic.
And there also, if you have behind the ear hearing aid, there's a cord that you can put.
Okay.
So if they fall, they can fall on your neck like glasses.
Ah, brilliant. Okay. So a lot safer for keeping that technology protected. What can we do to keep and protect our hearing? I know we touched on avoiding loud noise just as we start to wrap up the show. How important, firstly, are earplugs when you swim or shower? And what else can we do to protect our hearing?
If a person goes swimming or is in the shower and comes out and they feel water in their ears, there are custom-made swimming plugs, they're called, that can be used. It depends on the shape of the ear canal, where the water will collect there. So that is definitely a good thing. What else can we do? A general healthy lifestyle included in being in an environment that is safe from a noise point of view, good nutrition, good exercise, making sure your cognitive functioning is tops. Living a full life. Hearing loss can be associated with many other health conditions like diabetes and kidney function and cardiovascular conditions. So many conditions have hearing loss as an adjunct.
Right.
And one's got to make sure that the medical practitioner supports that. I did speak to one endocrinologist who said, hearing loss is the last of their worries.
Yep.
It's a statement which pained me greatly.
So
in fact, the opposite.
The message quite simply is look after yourself and look after your hearing. Charlene Brett, audiologist, thank you so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate your time. You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday here on 101.9 High FM.